Well, good morning again. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for every day. We thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose in our life and a plan, Lord, and you're continually working it out. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to know that your work behind the scenes, you're working out every tiny little detail in our lives, Lord. And you're using it for your glory, for the furtherance of your purpose. Lord, speak to us this morning, please. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through your spirit. Open up heaven for us. Open our hearts to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job on Beulah, man, by the way. There's one line in there that got my attention this morning. Well, a lot of them did, but there's one in particular. That our faith will end with sight. Says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Is there going to be faith in heaven? No. We won't need it. Faith will end in heaven. We're going to know. That has nothing to do with my sermon. But, hey, and no, that's not the entirety of my sermon. You wish. Actually, I shared this sermon probably about 3 years ago. I've made some changes in it. I'm sharing it now. 3 years ago. Have I been preaching here that long? Actually, it's going to be 7 years in June, Father's Day. 7 years. Well, you'd think I would have gotten better in all this time, you know. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people this morning, Lord. Mother's Day. An elementary school science class had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. At the end of the semester, the teacher put on the exam this question. 6 letters, starts with the letter M, picks up things. What am I? Almost the entire class, or well, over half the children wrote, let's say it with me, mothers. We can learn a lot from children. Today we are observing Mother's Day. The Bible has a lot to say about mothers and fathers, but that's for next month, fathers. Unless you happen to be a father that raised a child, then this day is for you too. I don't care what anybody says. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. There's a Latin term that I learned on old-time radio, on satellite radio. I listen to old-time radio programs. Where does qui bono? Means who benefits. Qui bono. Q-U-E-B-O-N-O. Who benefits? Who benefits when we honor our father and our mother? We do quite a bit, don't we, mostly? Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The word honor actually means to esteem at the highest level, or to add weight to. It comes from the biblical time when coins were weighed to determine their value. The heavier the coin, the greater its value. Honor works in the same way. The greater the value we place on God, people, and things, the greater their weight and influence will be in our life. By honoring, we deeply value and respect the object of our honor and elevate it to a place of influence. What a servant. What is the most important vocation? Ricky might think dentist. Painless dentist. In God's eyes, there's no vocation higher than a parent. Think about it. Is the vocation of teacher higher than a parent? Why do teachers exist? To assist parents in teaching their children. The teacher serves the parent. What about doctors? Who does the doctor serve? I'll get it out eventually. The doctor serves families. Doctors exist to serve the parent. What about the governor, the senator, the president? Romans 13:3-4, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. In other words, government exists to protect and defend families. Governments exist to serve parents. There's no vocation higher than parent. Martin Luther explains the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, with these words. God has given this walk of life, fatherhood and motherhood, a special position of honor, higher than that of any walk of life under it. He distinguishes father and mother above all other persons on earth and places them next to himself. Leviticus 19:3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Fear. Strong's number 3372 says that fear means reverential trust. It's the same as fear the Lord. But there's something unusual about that verse I just read. Did you catch it? Israel was a male-oriented society, and yet, which is listed first? The mother. Okay, let's go back to the classroom. Teacher, math question. State your answer as a fraction. If there's 10 at the table and one apple pie, how much does each one get? A student yells out, 1/9. Teacher looks at him and says, you don't know much about fractions. The student says, you don't know much about my mother. If there's that many people at the table, she don't want none. I remember when I was born in New Brunswick, Canada. And we lived there till I was probably eight, almost 9 years old. We moved to Los Angeles. Culture shock. But we had a nice home there. My father worked for the Canadian government. He was our customs officer. That was before they got mean at the border. But we also had a garden. We had a cow, which almost killed my brother once, but that's a different story. And we had chickens. We raised chickens. Sometimes we'd have a couple hundred. We had as many as 1,000 chickens. Guess what we ate a lot of? I like chicken. But I remember my mother, she would cook the chicken and she'd set it down on the table and she would announce, "I want the neck." I said, "Okay, Mom." Did she really want the neck? You know, I don't know. She did say that she liked to pick at it, and that's the type of eater that she was. But yet, there's something in there that tells me that maybe she just wanted to make sure everybody had their choice. That's a mother. Who were our earliest teachers? Titus 2, 3 through 5, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Older women are supposed to instruct younger women. And they're also supposed to instruct younger men. Speaking of teachers, our opening scripture today was 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 7, and I'm just going to read verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, where did that faith come from? It tells you. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Eunice and Lois. You know, that's the only place in the Bible that you see the word grand anything. No grandfather, no grandson, no granddaughter, no grandchild, no grandparent. Grandmother, once. Here. It has to do with motherhood. She was a good example to her daughter, who was a good example to her son. It becomes a family tradition, doesn't it? They were godly women. What effect did they have on Timothy? They had a very profound effect. The unfeigned faith, that means real. That means sincere. The real, sincere faith that is in thee dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother. How important are they in our lives? I'm firmly convinced that I would not be here if it weren't for a praying mother. Anybody else say that? I see a lot of hands. A few hands. A few honest people. And grandmothers. It all starts. It's family tradition. But I wouldn't be here. And it took an awful lot of praying to bring me back from where I was. My mother was an imperfect human being. My mother was a woman of prayer. Every night. On her knees, next to her bed, praying for her children. Every night. Did God get tired of her? No, he doesn't get tired of our prayers. My mother was a woman of the Word. She loved her Bible. She read her Bible. She loved the book of Psalms, Psalm 91 and in particular. My mother was a woman of faith as part of her existence. It was who she was. When my family moved to Los Angeles, my father had this illusion that he was going to get into real estate or something. He's going to make a lot of money. That didn't happen. He often wondered if he really should have moved to California like he did. I don't know. I know it seemed like for a while there, almost every year, our house went into foreclosure. We thought we were going to lose our house. We didn't know what we were going to... Food on the table? Well. But I remember my mother constantly saying, God will provide. Like I said, she was a woman of faith. And I remember that, and I've clung to that. Because God does provide. And I got to see it. Every year, the house went into foreclosure, and yet every year something happened. God provided. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother. How? How do we honor our father and our mother? How do we honor anything? Let's look at some words and terms associated with honor. Favor, magnify, glory, magnificence, ornament, splendor, wealth, costliness, dignity, brilliance, revere, esteem, nobility, value, respect, lift up, consider precious. You know, Jesus was constantly at odds with certain of the Pharisees. It does say certain of them. They weren't all like that. But quite a few of them were. Certain of the Pharisees that always wanted to put these rules and everything on people and condemn them for when they didn't follow the rules. And Jesus said, you're hypocrites. You don't even obey the fifth commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother. When you know that your parents have need from support or some help from you, you tell them, Corban. I have given it as Corban. In other words, I have given it to the Lord instead of to you. Jesus didn't like that. That's in Mark 7. These are grown children, by the way. They should have known. They should have known how important their families were. Let's compare it with Jesus. John 19, 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. He provided for her existence from the cross. Just a short ways away from death. One of the last things he did. Take care of my mother. That's honor. Does the commandment to honor her cease to be in effect when she passes away? It doesn't say till death do you part, does it? It does not. It says honor her. It continues. You honor her memory. You follow her teaching, her example. If a bad example, you learn from it. You do the opposite. But you continue to honor her because good or bad, you learned life's lessons from her. You also honor her in the type of life you live. Some might say she wasn't honorable. The Bible doesn't say anything about that qualification. What does the Bible say? Honor your mother. That's the only qualification it mentions. Maybe it has a lot to do with our attitude, which contributes to our well-being, as it said in those verses in the Old Testament. You may not have had the best of mothers. Honor her anyway. She gave life to you. Lord, we thank you for mothers. There's an old saying which we know isn't true, but it says God couldn't be every place at once, so he created mothers. Well, that's not true. He created mothers to do his work, as he created other people to do your work. But thank you for mothers. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you'd go with each one of us as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen. But we're not through yet. We have mothers here. We have something for each mother. Surprise, we have roses. We've never done that before, right? I want everybody that's a mother to help themselves to. You may be able to take two because there isn't very many of them. And as we always do, I want to include Nariel and Shamar in this because they've taken care of children as teachers in many, many, many years. And they've touched an awful lot of life, a lot of instruction. So. That's it. Who's going to be first? Jolene's going to be first. Thank you, Jesus.